This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Homeschool father of five, Steve Vaughn, homeschool father of six in studio. Just a couple of homeschooling dads attempting to bring a biblical worldview to bear on all areas of life and to teach our children God's word as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down, which means there needs to be some integration of God's word into every area of life. This idea of dualism in which we separate out God's word from education, from some areas of life, is completely anti-scriptural. And friends, it's for us to bring God's word to bear into every area of life. So it should be something of a front lip before their eyes. And that's what we do with the Christian discipleship curriculum provided by the Generations organization. All right, today, newsflash, the Pope has switched religions. That's
really?
Big news. That would be big news.
So he's finally admitted that he's a Muslim.
No, he's not a Muslim. No, no, he switched religions to humanism.
Oh, humanism.
He calls himself the new humanist. This is brand new, and this is hot off the press. Came by WorldNet Daily, and there's a number of other sources that are covering this story, including LifeSite News, The Daily Wire. Others are covering the story that the Pope has switched religions, friends. And that's really big news that he has switched to calling himself a new humanist. He's also urging world leaders to sign his global pact for new humanism, which is a big deal. I mean, this is a very big deal. He's got this religion. It's called humanism. And he is wanting to sign others up to it. Just the fact that the Pope of the Catholic Church has switched religions, I think, is highly significant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he had become Protestant, that would have been a lot better. But becoming humanist, I mean, that's like world religion. That's worldliness, worldly religion. And that's a big step away from Christianity.
Well, you know, again, he quotes Hillary Clinton in his new agenda on secular education, and he's promoting a secular globalized form of humanist education. And, you know, I mean, Hillary Clinton is something similar. She's a Methodist, quote unquote, but, you know, the humanist that bears still something of a religious cloak about her, but her fundamental worldview is an epistemologically self-conscious humanism. In other words, if you asked her, are you a humanist at base? She would say, yes, I am. Even as you were to ask the Pope, are you a humanist? Are you a man-centered religious humanist at base? He would say, of course I am. And so, you know, Hillary Clinton and the Pope, very similar in terms of worldviews here, especially as they treat the matter of education. LifeSite News also very disappointed with the Pope's shift on religious views. I believe they have a Catholic background. But LifeSite News very disappointed with the Pope's shift on religion, shifting to the humanist religion. And this is their quote. They said, at a time when the right to homeschool and the right to free choice of school are threatened, and when countries throughout the world level taxes to provide public schooling to which no Catholic parent could safely send their child, Pope Francis omitted any reference to the prerogatives of parents as the primary educators of their children. So that came from LifeSite News. But more fundamentally, the Pope is moving towards humanism, and he is epistemologically self-conscious on his humanist foundations. In other words, he's saying, I am a humanist. I am basically and fundamentally a humanist. So these are the confessions of the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And he says he wants to hand on to the younger generation united in fraternal common home. He quotes, it takes a village to raise a child, and so forth and so on. He seems to be pushing very hard for globalization in the current situation of globalization, not only of the economy, but also of technological and cultural exchanges. The nation state is no longer able to procure the common good of its population alone. In other words, we can't just leave education up to the National Department of Education in Washington, D.C. What we need is a globalized United Nations form of education. So that's what he's saying. He also is referring to the African proverb, which is the exact proverb that was referred to by Hillary Clinton. It takes a village to raise a child, although the village seems to get bigger and bigger. The village is not the village, you know. The village is not the community. The village is not the church or the local church. The village, in the mind of Hillary Clinton, is not the village. They like that, you know, tight little quote, it takes a village to raise a child. Because it has, you know, first some African roots to it, but they like it because they apply it to the massive centralization of power in these massive nationally centralized forms of government, and in this case, the United Nations or some globalized international department of education that would control the education of 7 billion children around the world, programming their minds with their quote-unquote right worldview, which turns out to be the wrong worldview, and the right socialist type of social and political view, so that they will be truly Plato's kids in the Republic, such that they will not know their parents, and they will be properly socialized into a socialist, communist form of education that's controlled by the world elite. And that, my friends, is the globalized goal for education from the perspective of people like Hillary Clinton and the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. All right, be back with more in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on The Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio today as we talk about the Pope's shift on religion to a what he calls a new humanism. And we'll get to that in just a moment because he does have very, very clear theological statements that that define him as a humanist in the most fundamental sense. So we'll deal with that in just a moment. But in his statement, I went to his website on this Global Pact for Education. And it turns out that that he wants the education more inclusive. So that's very, very basic, is he wants an inclusive form of education. One of the things that's interesting also is you read the language. It's very, very obfuscated, very, very difficult to understand what he's saying, which, of course, that itself is not helpful. But he does speak in support of human biological evolution. So that's interesting. He came out and speaks in a positive way, or assuming that humans evolved biologically. So you know, he speaks in terms of human evolution in his statement, in the rather short statement you're going to find on the website. He refers to the African proverb, it takes a village to educate a child, as we mentioned. But also, more fundamentally, he's calling for a covenant generating peace, justice, and acceptance among all the peoples of the human family, as well as dialogue between religions. In other words, he's looking for a basic pluralism, the doctrine of accepting all the gods of the pantheon. So this has been the direction that he's been moving for a long time. But now he's basically coming out and saying, you know, all the gods of the pantheon are accepted, all the religions are accepted, and the truths are of equal value. The most key statement of all, though, is this. He says, to achieve these global goals, the common path of the education village must take important steps. The first is to have the courage to put the person at the center. So that was the very, very basic element of this manifesto from the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, friends, to put the human, or put the person, at the center. And this is precisely what John Dewey did in the First Humanist Manifesto, to put the individual or the person, or even the society, at the very center, and that man is alone in the pursuance of his dreams. So this is humanism itself, to put man at the very center. A man's centeredness in education, a self-consciously anti-Christian, self-consciously humanist worldview, is presented in a statement like this. He says, have the courage to put the person at the center. I can't think of a more self-consciously humanist statement than that. That is humanism in its rawest form. That is basically to say that Allah is God. That is basically to say that there are no three persons in the Trinity. That this is the most basic doctrine of humanism. This is it. You can't get more basic than to put the person at the center. Man-centeredness in education, friends, is the very central doctrine of humanism. It is a man-centered epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, and a man-centered teleology. It's basically Romans 11:36 in the HSB, the Humanist Standard Bible, for of man and to man and through man are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Yeah.
That was the Humanist Standard Bible. Did you get that?
Yes,
okay.
I did. Yes.
Yeah. This is it.
Yeah.
We have the Humanist Standard Bible in front of us, and it is the Pope's agenda for education in the global sense.
Yeah, this is totally a declaration of independence from God. This is exactly what happened in the garden. We don't need you. We will determine what's right and wrong. We will determine our own direction. Man will plan his own steps, and we really don't need God to make our paths straight. We'll make our own paths straight.
Boy, we've come a long way since transubstantiation was up against consubstantiation.
Yeah.
We've come a long way for the Immaculate Conception of Mary here. Now, this is way more fundamental. Now, we can take our issues, and we do, with these other traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. But man, at this point, we are in the concrete of the foundations. We're in the very footers of a different religion, my friends. This is the very definition of false religion, of humanism. The Pope himself has denied the basic faith and has embraced humanism in the most self-conscious form, putting man at the center. This is the Humanist Manifesto. This is man is ultimate. This is humanism in its rawest form.
So what does this do to the Roman Catholic Church then?
Well, you know, humanism crept into the Protestant churches and the Catholic churches over the last 800 years. No question about it. We've had a massive, massive influx of humanist ideas, which means that man has become increasingly the authority over truth and ethics. He doesn't look to the Word of God to define his law, to define what is right and wrong, to define what is true and what is false. He will reinterpret the whole Word of God according to his presuppositions that he has determined for himself. That is the direction that the Catholic and the Protestant churches have gone for the last 800 years. When human traditions trump divine revelation and authority, you know that man has moved to the center. But in this case, the Pope has admitted to that doctrine. In other words, what he's saying is, yes, that's who we are, and that's what we do. We are humanists, and we are humanists to the very core of everything we believe. We have put man at the center of all knowledge, of all education, of all existence. Man is at the very center, for of man and through man and to man are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the doctrine of the modern humanist, and that's what's taught in American public schools. And apparently that's what he wants taught in all schools all around the world.
Are there any rumblings from like the other cardinals or the magisterium or anything like that, that they're saying maybe we ought to rescind this vote or anything like that?
Well, LifeSite News is not on board with it.
Yeah.
Now, that's all we know. You know, I think there are some elements of the Catholic Church that would not be on board with this. But, you know, now we're going exactly the opposite direction as a ministry.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if the Pope listens to this radio program.
I'm thinking probably not.
But if he did, I think we need to tell him that we are going back to the Word of God. We want to see Christ preeminent in every aspect of education, and we want to see God glorified, and man needs to move out of center, and God needs to move right into center, and we need to be glorifying God and bringing God's word to bear in every single subject, in every single year. And our major beef with all of education, universities, K-12 schools, etc., is that Aquinas came up with a different form of knowledge in which, well, he separated out sacred knowledge or sacred doctrine from humanist knowledge, and a humanist system, a philosophical knowledge built up on human reason. So Aquinas, of course, being one of the very first of the humanist epistemologists of the 14th century, and that's where it began. Well, now they're just admitting that they are full-fledged humanists through and through. That's where we are today. Humanism is, however, the dry rot that destroys civilization, always does. Destroyed the Greeks back in 120 BC. It was a man-centered philosophy. It was Aristotelian ethics, Aristotelian truth, which, of course, Aquinas was trying to bring back in the 13th century. He was all about Aristotle. But it was Aristotle and Plato who brought in their apologies for homosexuality and all the rest, but ultimately placed man at the center and said man at the source. Man is the one who determines his own truth. Man builds up his own understanding, his own knowledge on the basis of human reason, and man determines what is right and wrong on the basis of his own mind. And we don't submit ourselves to divine revelation on these things. So now, of course, humanism destroyed the Greeks by 120 BC. Birth implosions, the majority of the kids were aborted or just killed for convenience sake, mostly girls. The roots of homosexuality, gender fluidity, abortion, et cetera, et cetera. There, it's self-definition. It's a man-centered epistemology, metaphysic, and ethic. That's how you get to homosexuality, gender fluidity, and abortion. You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. You've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, every single public school in America teaches that.
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. No right, no wrong. I'm free. I'm free. Elsa's stupid little song in Frozen that formed the worldview of 1.2 billion children around the world over the last, 3 years?
Yeah. Yeah. This is such a far cry from who they claim to be the first pope as Peter, who said, you judge for yourself whether we obey God rather than man. Well, they apparently have judged, and they're going to obey man.
They're going to go with man on this
one.
Yeah. Well, friends, so we need to, again, bring back an education that is God-centered. Should education be child-centered in the view of Charlotte Mason? Should it be parent-centered? Should it be system-centered, globally centered around the global human population and global ideas that are brought together in some kind of a synthesis? Should education be child-centered? Should it be parent-centered? Should it be community-centered? Should it be global community-centered? Or should it be God-centered? Your take on that?
I'm going with God on this one. Exactly. None of the other ones get you anywhere. You have got to go with God. It is His world. He's the one who is over all academics. He's the one who made math the way it is. It's His story, His history. All sciences are created by Him so that we can actually do science. I mean, if nothing is consistent, God made the laws so that we could actually discover His creation so that we could glorify God. That's what all of the famous scientists that came with all these laws were about anyway. They wanted to glorify God by discovering His creation, not glorify man by figuring out what we can do.
And we need to glorify God, as you said, in every single subject. And that means that when I open a chemistry textbook or a biology textbook or a basic God Made Animals textbook for a sixth grader, I want to be sure that I see at least 447 references to God, giving glory to God, giving credit to God for these things He's created. And sadly, I'm still seeing a massive dualism in Christian homeschooling curriculum versus what we need to see. We need to see God's glory presented on every page. We need to acknowledge Christ everywhere. We need to be committed to Christ, and we need to not concede to neutrality in education, friends. All knowledge is formed on a certain worldview, a basic understanding of reality, origins, ethics, and truth. And when our children are discipled by the wrong worldview, they'll carry on the wrong faith in the next generation. Christ must be presented as a source of all wisdom and knowledge. That's Colossians 2 and verse 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ must be preeminent in all things. That's Colossians 1. That means He's got to be preeminent in science and history. There can't be two distinct forms of knowledge, as we've mentioned. The secular and the sacred. We can't have that in the Christian mind. Friends, the fear of God and humility must serve as the foundation of knowledge and learning for the Christian. You know, the world appeals to pride and rejects the fear of God. Come on, do you see this school teaches the fear of God and the humility of our students is the greatest value in our school. Is that what you see at the billboard that introduces your local private or public school? You don't see that.
Never.
You don't see that. What, rather, you see school pride. It's all about intellectual pride. It's all about us glorifying man versus glorifying God. Now, that makes for a radically different form of education. It's ultimate apostasy for Christians who purport to teach knowledge in the schools or the textbooks to ignore Christ in discussions on epistemology. The world appeals to pride and rejects the fear of God. For Christians, academic pride is the destruction of knowledge. The atheist who refuses to acknowledge God in the schools is the real fool. If Proverbs 1:7 is not foremost in the perspective and communication of the homeschool leaders or Christian school leaders, Christian families should avoid attending their conferences, period. So the fundamental principle is the fear of God. If you're not seeing the fear of God, like you go directly to this website and you look at this globalization plan for education, not one mention of the fear of God as the beginning of all knowledge. Not one mention. Why? Because it's a different religion. It's as different as black is from white, as heaven is from hell. Friends, we need to call for a distinctively Christian form of curriculum. And God's word must be the source of certain knowledge, not man's opinions. The word of God must be integrated throughout. In other words, I open up a 10th grade American history textbook like our America and God's Providence. Steve, I want to see 475 references to the word of God. Why? Because the word of God itself is the highest level of truth. It's the most certain truth available to man. And so if we can't interpret reality by the values, the priorities, the ethics, the truth statements of the Word of God, then we're not going to properly understand history. That's why it's so important to have the Word of God as a frontlet before our eyes, on the posts and on the gates. This obliterates the idea of a secular education as a separate kind of knowledge. And of course, the purpose of Christian education is not to glorify man, but to glorify God. The ultimate purpose is, okay, we've done, 68 hours of lecture on the complexity of the human cell. Now what? We all stand up on our desks, lift our hands in the air, and sing, "To God be the glory, great things he has done."
Amen.
But you see, that's just blasphemy to modern secularists who teach in Christian colleges. That's blasphemy. To bring the glory of God, the truth of God, and the worship of God into the chemistry classroom is blasphemous to those who have bought into Aquinas and see that it's a dualistic form of knowledge and a dualistic form of existence. But ultimately, friends, if we're not giving God the glory, if not fearing God, if we're not seeing that God's truth is the basis for all truth, for anything that we internalize or understand to be true, then we don't have a Christian education. Well, we also teach a God confidence, not a self-confidence or a self-esteem or a man confidence. See, what happens with secular education is you read all the works of man, and then you give man all the glory. And then you gain self-confidence in yourself, and you gain confidence in man to save himself by way of government and so forth and so on. But for us, faith and prayer are essential for the success of a Christian education. We don't encourage self-confidence, but instead a God confidence in a Christian education and training. Now, this makes for a radically different form of education for those who are Christians and want to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, which is a command to every father and mother out there, as presented in Ephesians 6:4. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you to our Christian Discipleship curriculum line, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. We have everything from 6th to 12th grade, adding 5th grade in just a few months from now. And we will be, hopefully, at some point, providing a complete K-12 curriculum for Christians who demand a Christian curriculum where the Word of God is a frontlet before their eyes, and every day on every page, we're giving glory to God and not to man. All of that available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.